is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
How comfortable are you with risk? And how much do you long to experience real love in your marriage? All these two things are related. And God's word talks about it, even though it's counterintuitive to what we would naturally think or do. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Pastor Brad Bigney, and we're looking to God's word to find out how we could take our marriages from barely alive to just survive and on to thrive. We don't want to just survive. We don't want to see them barely alive. But for marriage to thrive, or I hope you realize anything in this world to thrive, you've got to know what God, our good God and Creator, has to say about it. When we left off in the last episode, we were talking about the connection between risk and love, because a biblical definition of love is actually giving to the needs of another with their best interest in mind, expecting nothing in return. And if that sounds supernatural, if that sounds like, whoa, I don't know, I could do that on my own. Well, you're right. That's the definition of God's love. But because He loves us that way, He calls us to love others in the same way. But the biggest thing holding us back very often is this fear factor that we're born with. We examined from Genesis chapter 3 in our last episode, but today I want to unpack a larger context of 1 John 4:18 that I gave you that tells us the opposite of love is fear. In 1 John chapter 4, listen to the greater context, beginning verse 16. So we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us. Doesn't mean sinless, it means robust. How does real love begin to grow up and become mature in us? By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence. It's a lack of confidence. It's fear of what others will think, what others will do, how I might be perceived, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. These two things cannot rule on the throne of your heart at the same time. Both cannot reign and rule. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. In other words, He's only calling us to extend out horizontally what He is pouring out on us vertically in our relationship with Him. He's just saying, don't keep it to yourself. Don't just pile it up. I love you like this so that you can love others in a supernatural way that would enable you to risk and give far more than you would ever give and allow yourself to be known in ways you would not allow. But I want you to hear again, there are two phrases worth noting in verse 16. He says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us, to know and to believe. Oh, if you want to be able to love others, especially your spouse at close range, you have to have both, because you realize you can know about God's love in a general way and still not believe that God really loves you. We all love to put ourselves in a category and think we're the exception. I know that's what God's word says, but here's why it doesn't apply to me. Here's why that is an age-old, universal, human, sinful tendency that simply cuts you off from the grace of God and the promises of God that would do you so much good. And so that's why John ends the phrase with two words, for us. His love's for us. It's personal. It's particular. If you're a Christian, it has your name on it. His love is for us. In other words, God is for you, not against you. And that frees you to risk reaching out and loving and giving to others. And then at the end of verse 18, he says, perfect love casts out fear. In other words, as the reality of God's love for us comes home to you, it drives out fear. As it rounds up those unruly fears and herds them all towards the exit door of your heart with an eviction notice from the God of the universe that says, you don't live here anymore. There's no room reserved for you. You're out because God's love is in. And that Greek word for cast out in verse 18 is a word that means literally to toss somebody out, to evict somebody. That's what God's love begins to do. It begins to toss out those. You may have had these kind of fears your entire life. You may have grown up in a home with parents or siblings or situations that did not instill in you trust and rest and acceptance. And so my heart goes out to you. It really does. But I have hope for you because God has hope for you. You do not have to be stuck the rest of your life. God's love, when you get a hold of it, that it has your name on it, that he truly loves you, can begin to toss out and evict those unruly fears of, I don't want anyone to know me. I don't want to be known. I don't want to risk. Oh, when the love of God gets a hold of you, it starts to clean house and throw open doors and stomp down into the basement of your past and climb up into the attic of your fearful future, right? Saying, it's all got to go. It's got to go. Get out, get out, get out, because the love of God has arrived. If you would say, honestly, Brad, I can't relate to that at all, that's okay. Guess what I would tell you to do? Pray that God would make it real to you. I mean, there's nothing more that God would love for you to get a hold of and soak in and truly believe and delight in than his love for you. Because it changes how you live. It changes how you love others. It changes how you risk giving to others. It changes how you respond to your circumstances. Begin to pray, God, make your love real to me. I want to taste it. I want to know it. I want to own it. I don't want to just constantly think, I know he loves other people, but he just tolerates me. At best, he likes me. Oh, when the love of God sets up housekeeping in your heart, it takes over every nook and cranny of your past, present, future, as he begins to cast out fear. But some of you have only given the love of God a tiny spare bedroom in your heart, or you've pushed it down into the corner of your musty, unfinished basement, while you've let fear basically run the show and hang out with you continually. Fear has its feet propped up in the den of your heart, so to speak. It goes to bed with you and it joins you at the breakfast table while the love of God is exiled to some dingy hallway and distant room of your heart because you spend more time rehearsing your failures and fears than celebrating God's love. The Bible says, it's perfect love that will begin to cast out fear. So don't wake up every day saying, I don't want to keep thinking that way. I don't want to have that fear. I don't. Wake up and decide, I'm going to soak in the love of God, the love of God. You don't even have to have an expensive Bible program to do this, my friend. Just get online. There's tons of free stuff. And Google and do a search and find all the best places in God's word that talks about his incredible love for you. And then I mean, read it, pray it, read it slowly, chew on it, meditate on it, and say, I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to keep rehearsing this. I'm going to come back to this pool. I'm going to dip into this well until it becomes real to me. You see, the focus in your life can either be fear-focused, trying to pretend, protect, prevent hurt at all cost, or it can be, I know I'm so loved by God, and I've got that security. I am His beloved, that I can be others-oriented. I can open up. I can let myself be known. I can be vulnerable. I can be honest. Now listen, will you get hurt? Absolutely. I have been hurt as a pastor. I have been hurt as a husband. I've been hurt as a friend. But I would still tell you, it's worth the risk. And I can push past the hurt because I'm soaking in the love of God for me. This horizontal love that I experience with a spouse, with kids, with friends, with church members is not my only love. When that's your only love, you'll shut down. You'll stop risking. God never intended for these horizontal relationships to be your only love. We're talking about real love entailing risk. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to dig into some more that this original sin problem that all of us are born with brings with it two aspects of fear, guilt and shame. We're going to talk about both when we come back.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney in just a moment. You know, all these fears that we carry around, fears of being truly known, that reminds me of a book that we have available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. It's David Pallison's Seeing with New Eyes. He really gets to the heart of all of this stuff, how God's word helps us see through all of our fears and all the defenses to what's really going on inside of us. It's Seeing with New Eyes by David Pallison. It's available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. At Fortis Institute, we're living this out right now. We're trying to as best as we possibly can. Instead of playing it safe in culture, in this culture that's getting more hostile to biblical truth, we've decided to stand firm and be steadfast. That's what Fortis means. And so we brought together all of these new voices to stand alongside Todd, voices that aren't afraid to speak truth with both grace and a backbone. And get this, you can access all of the content they're creating for free. That's right, for free, by downloading Fortis Plus right now and visiting fortisplus.org. 7 pieces of new content is loaded every single day into Fortis Plus, and there's already hundreds of hours of content available to you already right there in Fortis Plus, absolutely free. There's never going to be a subscription model with Fortis Plus. It's free. But in order to do that, we need partners who get it, who understand what it is that we're trying to do and what Pastor Brad's talking about today, that sometimes you got to risk something to be a part of something bigger than yourself. And that's what being a gospel partner is all about. It's saying, yeah, I believe this matters enough to invest in it. So when you partner with us at Fortis, you're not just keeping shows on the air, you're doing that, but what you're doing is you're helping people find freedom from the fears that have held them back. You're helping marriages heal. You're helping families get closer together. Parents raise children. Children love, honor, and appreciate their parents. And you're equipping believers to stand firm when everything else in their life is shaky. Look, I'll be straight. We're not able to do it alone. Every resource that we're able to create, every life that we're able to touch, every marriage that we are helping restore happens because of people just like you who want to be a part of what we're doing at Fortis Institute. So would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We know you have questions about what it would look like in your life to do that, and you can find answers to those questions right now at fortisinstitute.org. And now let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, we're talking about love and risk. And we're talking about the biggest problem that gets in the way of being willing to risk real love, moving towards others, giving, opening up, is the fear factor that we're born with. But here's what I want you to understand. Because of sin, it brought fear, but it brought fear on two levels that we struggle with, guilt and shame. And they're similar, but they're not the same. Both guilt and shame fill us with fears over what we've done and who we are. Guilt is much more related to what we've done, my actions. I've done some things. Shame is much more related to who we are. I'm ashamed of who I am. To put it another way, guilt plays in the arena of things you've done, and shame plays in the arena of identity or who you are, who you actually see yourself as being. One has to do with my record of sins that are against me. And yes, we're a sinner. Every single one of us are a sinner that sins. There is a record of sins against us. The question is, what are you going to do with that? And the other has to do with my identity and how I see myself. You realize it's not just what you do, but it is how you see yourself that is a huge factor as to how you relate to others or whether or not you're willing to be known. It's just not what I've done. It's who I am that is a factor as to whether or not I want to let someone else in. So it should come as no surprise if these are two huge factors we deal with. Oh man, if you just get on Amazon and Google the word shame, book after book is written about this problem of shame that we all deal with. It should come as no surprise that the Bible speaks to each of these profound human experiences with liberating, heart-soaring, gospel-soaked truth. Let me start with guilt. When it comes to guilt, I read my whole Bible every year, and I have favorite places that I look forward to, almost like a friend that I look forward to getting together with. Or I'm sure you have places along an interstate or fond memories of a place growing up or a farm, your grandfather, and you went there every summer. And listen to me, you start reading your Bible over and over and over, and I wish you would. Don't just listen to a podcast. Read your Bible. As you begin to read it over and over, you'll end up having some favorite places where you've got memories of what he did for you at that place in that passage. Here's my favorite place for guilt. Every year when I get there, Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. Listen to what it says. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all. Let that word sink in. All our trespasses. We tend to think, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. There's this thing that I did that there's no way he could forgive me. Listen to God's word, my friend. Having forgiven us all our trespasses. I want you to think of that thing right now that you're convinced he hasn't forgiven me for that. There's no way. It's still being held over my head. It's still against me. I want you to put that in this category. Having forgiven us all our trespasses. And here's how he did it. Verse 14, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Oh yeah, you realize sin has consequences. Every single one of us as human beings was born a sinner, and we have a sin debt that hangs over our heads. It's against us, absolutely. There was this record of sin, all my sins. Sins of commission, the things that I do. Sins of omission, what I should have done that I didn't do. Sins that don't even make it outside my head, but it's a heinous thought. It's on a heart level where I despise someone or I'm envious or I'm covetous. There's internal sins. There's external sins. There's sins that I commit. There's sins because of what I don't do that I should do. It is a colossal mess. Am I a huge sinner? Oh, absolutely. Are you a huge sinner? Absolutely. Guess what? We have an amazing Savior who's bigger than our sin. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. How did God cancel that record of debt? He's going to tell you. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible teaches us he had no sin of his own. He was the perfect God-man, fully God, fully man. He had perfectly kept God's law and pleased the Father. And then he gave his life up on the cross in our place. And your sin and my sin, how much of it? All of it was placed on him in that moment. That's why Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because in that moment, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." He took your sin, all of it, and paid the price, gave his life in payment. No more need for a goat or a bull or a heifer or a dove to be sacrificed. He became the all-sufficient Lamb of God that stepped into our sin, and the wrath of a holy God was poured out on him instead of us, so that anyone who puts their trust and faith in Jesus, believing that he is who he says he is and that he did what the scriptures testify he did, can be forgiven, not just some, but all trespasses. Whew! If that starts to get a hold of you, why I would get excited every year when I roll into the book of Colossians, I'm like, oh my goodness, I can hardly wait for Colossians 2:13 to 15. He set all my sin aside, that debt, that sin record of debt, nailing it to the cross. But what about shame? What about this shame that we feel so often in who we are? It's not just what I do, it's who I am. I still haven't gotten over, listen, the wonder of Romans chapter 8. I mentioned that in an earlier show, the word Abba. Well, I want you to hear it now in Romans 8, because this deals with shame and identity and who you are. Romans 8, 15 to 17. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." God is saying, when you are a sinner and you don't know Christ, of course you live with fear, constant fear. And you should, because you've not been forgiven, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa. He adopts you into his family. This will completely revolutionize your identity when you understand I am an adopted son or daughter, and I can call him. In fact, he wants me to call him Daddy, Papa. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Oh, listen to me. The Bible tells us that God, in his Son Jesus Christ, did something to eradicate both of our biggest problems that are related to sin and this fear factor, guilt and shame. What am I going to do with all this guilt over what I've done? Jesus Christ, who he is and what he did, is the answer for both that will set you free from fear and enable you to risk loving another human being, allowing another human being into your world. Until you know what to do with the fear of your own guilt and shame, you'll struggle to form deep and loving relationships with other people around you, including your spouse. I know it might sound weird, but if you were honest, you would admit it, some of you. You can live in fear of your spouse. You can live still pretending and protecting and putting up walls and deciding, I'm going to let you know so much, but I am not going to let you truly know me. And if you didn't realize it or not, that is a hindrance. That is keeping you from experiencing robust, real love, intimacy. These two things go together, risk and love. But you've got to be in relationship with God, and you've got to know what his Son has done for you on both levels of guilt and shame. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Oh, those three things are glorious. In other words, you have the Spirit of God living in you. And notice how I read in Romans 8, now I read in 2 Timothy 1, he wants you to know that Spirit living inside you is not a spirit of fear. So whenever you hear that voice of fear, whenever you feel it grip you, that is not the Spirit of God living in you. He didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. He's given us power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. We're talking about what it takes to risk leaning towards and stepping towards real love, giving to the needs of another because I know I am loved by God.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.